Here's the deal. I know these are sensational topics, but I want your audience to know that I've been in the ministry for over 30 years. I've been the senior pastor of one church on the Gulf Coast down in Northwest Florida for 30 years. So I've been in one community in one church. It's a Southern Baptist church. It's a large church for our area, and so, but when I went there 30 years ago, it was just kind of a rather small church, and so I've been through a lot. Prior to that, I spent 10 years in Florida law enforcement, with two different sheriff's offices and the Florida Department of Corrections at the state level, even at the administrative level. So a good 40 years of life experience. But
Right.
to the topic at hand, yeah, 30 years in one community, 30 years in one church, close encounters. I've had some very in my face up front and head on encounters with the demonic realm and attacks against me, other leadership in our church as a whole, and then having to deal with that not only at the local level, but I will also explain to your audience even at the national level. So I want your audience to understand, I do not claim to be an all-knowing expert on the topic of Freemasonry, because that was one of the demonic attacks. I don't claim to be an all-knowing expert on the topic of witchcraft. And I have had to speak to them both, and I've had to deal with them both in a very real way within my church ministry. So I don't know where to begin with this. Let me begin by speaking of a matter of what was identified to me as witchcraft. And here's how it started. A couple of years prior to the experience I'm going to relate to your audience, I had a gentleman in the community near the church where I pastored came to me one day for counseling. Now, I knew this guy and had been loosely related to his family through some ministry endeavors over the years. So I knew who he was. I could tell he was very disconcerted and seemed to be a little afraid, actually. But we went into my office, we sat down, and to make a long story short, he told me that his wife was directly involved in witchcraft. She was involved in a witch coven, and that she had joined this organization with some relatives of hers, as well as some good friends. And he was distraught about it, and he wanted to know, everything that I knew about it and how he should respond, et cetera. Well, it's a long story and other things that I knew that were happening in that family. But the bottom line is, so it was revealed to me that way that his wife was involved in a witch coven in our area. Then he went on to warn me that she would somehow be involved in coming against me and or my ministry. This was not a particularly godly man, by the way, but these were just things he had overheard some discussions or some braggadocious statements along those lines. Well, I assured him I could deal with it if and when that day came, and et cetera. And I ministered to him personally the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to deal with spiritual warfare and the demonic and how to talk to his wife, et cetera. Okay, but I told that story so that when I tell the story of what happened, you and your audience will know why I called this an attack of possible witchcraft. Because what happened was we had had another situation in our church. Remember, I've been there for 3 decades, been through a lot of what I call, in a lot of these Bible Belt small churches. Now, my church is no longer small now, kind of controlled by family groups. If it's a very godly family that the Lord has used to bring some borders and boundaries and some security, that's good. But sometimes it's based upon power groups and who has the standing in the community. And that's very typical. And so I had already run into some of that, not only in the church I was pastoring, but in the community. Well, you know, being a former lawman, I mean, I wasn't particularly intimidated by these people. You know, I have a pastor's heart. I wanted to try to reconcile all of that and to try to bring some peace in those situations. I didn't come in to be an antagonist. I didn't come in to further split the church. I wanted to try to bring some things together. So as it rocked along for the first couple of years, things I thought were coming together. But then an attack against me, my leadership, my authority ensued. It did ensue against me and the church that I pastored and the leadership of our church. And so we dealt with it in a biblical manner. And actually, to make a long story short, we actually had to bring a couple of people involved in all this before the church for the church to decide whether or not to remove their membership because they refused to reconcile. Mm-hmm. They refused to repent. They refused to stop the attacks on the leadership. So that hurtful situation, we dealt with it in a biblical way, prayerful way. God blessed and honored the meeting went through as it should have. And that man and family left the church. All right. Now, I told that story because a few months after that, in a Sunday morning worship service, and at the time we were in what was then our old sanctuary, a little small one we had begun with. And so we had gone to multiple worship services, getting ready to build the larger one that would seat 500-600 people. And so we were still in the small sanctuary. We were in multiple services. And in the early morning service, which was packed in that day, there were two women that came into the worship service sitting together. And I can remember, it was been a long time ago, but they were dressed in a way that drew attention to them. I can't remember if they were both all in black. I think they were, from the best of my memory. And just had that look about them of being involved in the occult. You've seen people that would dress and make themselves up like that. But the point is, I told all of that previous story to get to this point. I knew who the two women were. It was the wife of that man who had come to me a couple years prior, one of her relatives. And while we were in that worship service that morning, I can remember distinctly that I was preaching that particular morning, preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ redeems us from our sin, the cross, the purpose of Calvary's cross, the purpose of the shedding of the blood. I mean, it was one of those, what you'd call in old-fashioned biblical circles, it was one of those bloody sermons, you know. In the middle of the message that morning, these two women began to speak out while I'm preaching. Began to yell out, scream out. I don't remember the exact words right now, but it was something along the lines of, he's telling a lie. What he's saying is a lie. He's a liar. I mean, just so demonic, you know? So I'm preaching the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm preaching the salvation that's available to all at the foot of the cross. And I'm having these two women presenting themselves in a what I consider to be a demonic fashion, one of whom I knew her own husband had previously told me that she had joined a coven, actually say that she was going to be somehow involved in attacking me. And here she was calling me a liar in the middle of my sermon. Well, now this has been decades ago, and you know, church shootings and were much, much I guess less frequent than we hear of them now, but me being a former police officer, that's one of the first things I thought of. And then that's one of the first things I thought of. They stood up, several of my men kind of went down to the aisle and kind of got around them. I can remember addressing them as lovingly as I could at first. I called them by their names because I knew them. I didn't know them intimately, but I knew them. I had been there for years now. And they continued to scream and holler and no, we're not going to sit down and we're not going to shut up. And so the men gathered around. I can remember giving instructions to some of the men of the church to go to the office and call the law enforcement, call the law and get them out there immediately. And I remember speaking to my congregation and having them to clear the building or in an orderly fashion. And my thought was that, you know, who knew that these women might not just reach in their pocketbooks and pull out a gun? I mean, you know, I was already thinking that way of protecting the church. So anyway, they went outside, law enforcement showed up, We explained to the law enforcement what was going on. I told them that I would sign warrants. They did arrest them because the women wouldn't leave. I mean, even when the cops showed up, and they were taken away to jail. They were later bonded out. They pled not guilty for the purpose of taking the church to court. They wanted to make a big media affair out of it. So the attack just continued. It went on and on. So some months later, the case actually went to trial in our little community back then. Our community is huge now, but back then it was a little community. And not only, I mean, media showed up, but we just had a bunch of people back at the church praying that God would just cover us and protect us. Not only did the jury find in our favor within minutes of deliberating, but the women were found guilty of disturbing the peace, disturbing a public worship service. They were fined. They were given restraining orders to never set foot on the property again, et cetera, et cetera. Not only that, but the media didn't air a single word of it. There was not a thing written in the newspapers. There was nothing on television. I mean, there were television cameras in the courtroom. You know, one of those kinds of stories you would think that the media would have loved to have put that out. And I don't know if it was because it didn't end like they hoped it would end, or just the total covering of God. But the deal was is that we were protected in that way. Now, here's the kicker to it. So during later on in a legal procedure that followed all of that, we were in some lawful depositions dealing with these two women. And in the process of taking their depositions, the question was asked if this certain group of people that we had to deal with some years before had been involved in them coming down to the church and doing what they did. And under oath, they said yes, that they had been paid to come and to disrupt the worship service. And look at the spiritual warfare. Look how the Lord revealed to me who would be involved and how they would be involved and what it was I was up against, revealed it to me by her husband, who was innocently revealing it to me, then lead to them being involved and coming down and doing exactly what he told me that he heard his wife threaten that would eventually happen. So can you imagine turning out an entire sanctuary full of people, calling the law, having people arrested in the middle of the service, going to court, going to trial, their own family members attesting beforehand that they were involved in a witch coven and the evil things that went with that, and then enduring that process